Michelle and Henry, and they've got to get right over to Camp Shoshana, and they're on a very tight schedule for the day, and we appreciate her coming alongside of Isabel, and there she is. And Tom to take the time and come over here inland. Inland here to be with us landlubbers on the way. Also, I think, too, for our church has been praying for one another for a while, and Vanya has passed her citizenship exam. So the official is when?
In a month.
So in a month there, she is going to be an official citizen of the United States of America. And very excited about that. Very excited for her as well. You have to get with her and see if you could pass a citizenship test. I know she came over to the house about a week ago, decided to ask me all kinds of questions. I'm like, But I did get the Chief Justice right anyway. I got him right. Yeah, all right, so. All right. So anyway, we're looking back into Samuel chapter 27 as we begin tonight, very briefly. And Jack, for you back there, is Edification of a Backslider, part 5. Well, lessons learned the hard way for the redeemed of the Lord usually come when we are in a backslidden state. Backsliding is a turning away from God. It's a spiritual apostasy, turning away from God's truth. And that's what being a backslider is all about. So we have been looking at David's life as it is recorded as a part of David's history, living in Israel. And, I'm looking at some of the pictures that Dr. August Rosado and his sidekick there, Dr. David, I can't remember what his last name is, but they're over there, they're having a good time. And they're going to see all where all the green stuff is, the trees, the grass, whatever else. I think to myself, whoa, wait a minute now. If I had gone there the first time, I might have been able to endure all that. But we went to probably the driest places you could find, from Jerusalem east into Jordan, and so on. So I have a greater appreciation for the fact that not all we saw is how everything is over there. There are some areas that irrigation is functioning quite well, and it's a different environment somewhat. But David is spending a lot of his time in the wilderness, and he's backslidden, so we have looked thus far. First thing we'll look at, that lesson that we can learn from backsliding, is that God's protection comes in all sizes. And we had mentioned there that Abigail, the wife of I'm trying to think what his name is, Nabal. And Nabal was mean and nasty, and that's what his name means. So don't name your kid Nabal. I think we should wait and name our kids until their personality has developed, don't you? And it's either that, or if naming a child this particular name means that's how they're going to turn out, then name them like Enoch or something like that along the way. Good names, that'll help. But and of course, she intervened because David gathered his men together, never going to go down there, never going to really permanently fix Nabal's wagon, if you will, his life. And Abigail intervened, and so God actually was protecting David from doing something that would be very rash, something he would later on really regret. The second thing was that God's will does not need our help. And of course, we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 25 that God already had a plan in place for Nabal. And if David had just been patient and waited on the Lord, then he wouldn't have gotten himself all up. But he did at least thank Abigail for having intervened and having God having used her to intervene. So if somebody, God sends someone into your life, who knows what the function and the purpose might be, but it could be very positive if we have the right attitude. So God has his own solutions, and he took care of Nabal. And so when David came to the throne, he didn't have to worry about having killed someone, an innocent man. He was surly, he was mean, he was nasty, and all of these things here. But overall, he didn't do anything to cause David to be justified in taking Nabal's life. And then fourthly, that fear and foolishness go hand in hand. And we see where David, fearing Samuel, brother Saul, went over into Achish, over into the Philistines. And, he did a lot of really strange things over there for someone who was a man of God. And so fifthly, this afternoon, we look at David learns a hard head and a hard heart go together. Kind of sounds like most of us husbands sometimes, doesn't it, ladies? Hard heads and hard... No. We can have hard heads, but great hearts. Amen? Okay, ladies. Not going to agree with that. Anyway, chapter 27, verse 8. And it says there, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me. I just lost my place for a minute. I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest that Saul, at what Saul had done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life, to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. And then said the woman, am I in the right place? No. I'm thinking to myself, this is not making any sense to me whatsoever. Chapter 8, chapter 27, I'm in verse 28. So, and David and his men, there we go, went up and invaded the Girgashites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman. Sometimes the Bible's hard to read some of these things, isn't it? Sometimes how David could have done this. And it says, and David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither hath ye made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us. Saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. Well, first of all, when you're backslidden, you don't tell lies like that. Hey, don't certainly hang out with the wrong people. Don't hang out with the wrong groups. But I seriously doubt, and this came to my mind as I was putting this together, I seriously doubt that David, the shepherd boy, could have ever imagined that he'd be in this situation that we're reading about tonight. A shepherd boy who was protecting sheep from bears and lions and wolves and the elements would all of a sudden one day find himself killing men, women, and children just to keep their mouth shut so they couldn't tell on him. And yet, God has preserved this historical record rather than sweeping it under the rug as though it never happened. One of the things we can take away from this is that when you begin to waver on our responsibilities to the Lord, Bible study, Bible meditation, making applications to our lives, and we begin to backslide, you have to realize that you're going to be surprised by some of the things you'll say and some of the things you'll do when you get away from the Lord. And you'll actually look to yourself one day and say, how in the world could I have let myself get this far away from God? That is, if by God's grace, He is able to pull you back. Not everybody gets pulled back. Some do. Praise God for that. God has second chances, for sure. But it's very disheartening, if you will, to read about David's life and the things that he felt were just, and knowing in the depths of his heart that it was all so very, very wrong. And that's another thing that comes to your mind. Initially, you have this instance that this is not right. This is wrong. I shouldn't be saying this. I shouldn't be hanging around. I shouldn't be going here, and I shouldn't be doing this. This is what I should be doing. And eventually, the longer you refuse to do the very things you know you should do, the worse you begin to backslide. And all of a sudden, those things start to become a distant conviction. And that's a horrible place to be, is when the Holy Spirit is not able to get in touch with your heart and your soul and bring you back to a close relationship with the Lord. It is, to say the least, seemingly out of character concerning David and what we know of him prior to his backslidden state. But backsliding begins with a hard head. One who knows what God wants and expects from us, and yet we refuse either, and we do our own thing, and then the hard heart begins to justify it all. And that's again the worst of it all. You begin to backslide, and then you begin to justify, well, the preacher's too loud, or the preacher's too short, or the preacher's this, the preacher's that, or something else. You can always find fault with the church, because the church is not perfect. And the reason the church is not perfect is because it's made up of imperfect people. So you can, if you're really looking for something, you'll find it. It's not like a needle in a haystack, but if you're looking for a reason to get away from a fundamental Bible-believing church, it doesn't take all that much. And eventually the devil will go with that, he'll run with that until he's got you out somewhere in what I call revolving doors along the way. So it begins with a hard heart. And even though one knows that what they're doing is not right, not what they should be doing. So David has been anointed by Samuel at God's directive while Saul was still on the throne. Secondly, we see that David, as the historical record reveals, initially conducted himself what? The Bible says he conducted himself wisely. He behaved himself before the king. He didn't try to usurp the king. He didn't try to take any glory away from the king. He just did what he was charged to do by the king, to go out there to win the battle and to destroy as much of the enemy as you could possibly destroy of the enemy. And so he had that testimony. He conducted himself wisely and never did anything to suggest that he would or was trying to take the throne whatsoever. And yet Saul became jealous, simply because the women began to sing that Saul has killed his thousands and David had killed his 10,000. Well, I can't be. I'm the king. You know, so. But, well, you mean it's what happens when you begin to think too highly of oneself. So this appears to have taken its toll on David as well. And as we see that David is on the run for his life, sleeping in the cold nights under the stars, hiding at other times in caves, and always working hard to stay one step ahead of King Saul. And managing to do so, but it was by God's grace he was able to maintain that one step ahead of Saul. So it appears to have taken a toll on David spiritually, and that's something else. When you begin to face hardships, this is not a time to slack off from your Christian responsibilities. As soon as you do that, then the recovery process is so much harder, or to deal with what you're dealing with there. And so it began to take its toll on David. I know someone that, you know, it can even happen physically. Back in 85, when I had ruptured appendix and I was in the hospital, I was there almost the first full week before they even realized what was wrong with me. And so the appendix had ruptured on a Sunday. Here we are Friday. And basically, I got into emergency surgery there, and they told Peg, get your church together, pray for your husband. We don't know what we can do. Now it's going to be, he said, it's up to God at this particular point. And so, in the hospital for a total of 3 weeks, but that second week of recovery, I was in a spiritual slump. I was like a duh. You kind of think, I don't know the word to use other than, you know, just kind of, you're in a whatever. And then on a Tuesday night, God really spoke to my heart. About 2-3 in the morning, he spoke to my heart, and everything began to turn, everything began to take a corner. But you can get yourself to a place physically where it takes a toll on you mentally and spiritually as well as physically along the way. So just be mindful of that and be prepared. Not that something bad's going to happen along the way, but there are issues. The older we get, the more issues we can face along the way, for sure. But it should never affect who we are spiritually. But you can get yourself to a physical place in your life where spiritually you feel, yeah. That's all you just those sense of a real true excitement. And that's why Christian brothers and sisters are so important to come and to pray with you. And folks did. They came in the hospital and they prayed. And they encouraged and they helped out at the house, because 3 weeks I was gone. The kids are in school and so on. So it was a rough way all the way around. But just know that we can get spiritually backslidden. And David was down. He was down and out. And he is in a downward spiral. And anger is beginning to grip his soul and increasingly making very bad decisions and justifying them, such as we often have in our text seen, or even in our own lives. Well, I don't think I'm going to go to church today. And we justify not going to church, even though we know that's what God would have us to do. So we justify not going to church. How? Well, got something going on today, or I'm just not really on top of it. I think I saw a little drizzle on this side, the left nostril there, so I'm going to stay home. And we can make all kinds of excuses for not doing it. Even the time for the Bible study, our time that we go downstairs and read the Bible. I go downstairs and read the Bible anyway, and so on. But you say, well, you know, I've got so many projects to do today. I'm going to get with it later. And I said to myself, you're lying. You're lying to yourself, because you know that you're going to get busy, and you, at the end of the day, you're going to be so beat up and tired, you're not going to do it. Remember, you're an old man now, so you can't do. You don't have that energy at 11 o'clock at night like you might have had at one time or another. So we have to stop justifying these things by making excuses. and realize that the right choice is always the choice that God would have us to make, the choice that pleases God first and foremost. Like Tom said, oh, the family's all over there. He could say, well, you know, I'm going to be gone for 3 days here, and we begged him to stay. We said, please don't. But we appreciate Tom taking that time to travel 2.5 hours to get here to help us out here in the services today. But it's so easy to even on vacation, to justify, well, you know, it's such a mess here, and I got to pack some decent clothes to go to church with today. So we justify not going to church for whatever reason. And we know down deep in our heart that's not good. So he is now mean. David has now become a mean man, a surly man himself. He was probably everything that Nabal had become. He had become hard-headed. He had become hard-hearted. And at the same time, under a great deal of conviction. That's some of the worst places to be, is to have a hard head, a hard heart, and be under conviction at the same time. Women who have an unsaved husband or a backslidden husband, and they try to be an example before the husband, knows how surly they can get. They get instantly, defensive. They become defensive in how they act and how they react in given certain circumstances. And here is David. His heart has gotten hard. His head has followed. And now the convictions are not as effective as they could be. Now, I believe that it was such an occasion as we have reading here in our text, that even though David repented in time to come, that David's desire to build God a temple, when he got right with God, it was burning in his heart to build a building, because it's not right for me to have a palace, not right for me to have these summer homes, and here's God dwelling in the tent. So it was his heart's desire, probably the greatest desire of his life, was to build God a temple. And God refused to let David do so. And at least I believe in part based on what we have in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 3. But I believe it has a lot to do with David on the run and what he did in some of these areas here as well. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, now the Bible doesn't explicitly say this, but I believe that there are things that that are contributing factors, if you will. And 28, verse 3. But God said unto me, I should go back into verse 2. Then David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. And had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for thy name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. And David did just that. He was a man of war. But I believe some of the things that he did in the name of war, or defending himself against Saul, being on the run, all these things went together, because there were some things from David's background that did not fit for the privilege and the joy of being able to build the temple of the Lord. So here again, is the point. While backsliding may not seem a big deal, nor reach such an extreme as it did in David's life, but nonetheless, you will do things, say things that you never could have imagined that you would have done or you would have said. You will have to justify your actions, for which there can be no real justification. How do we turn our backs on God, disobey God, and justify doing so? Those times and things during that period will be like a ball and chain on your spiritual recovery. It is never easy at all. You know that when you lose the weight, trying to maintain it is what? It's hard. It's not an easy thing. Well, we pick up so much baggage when we are backslidden, they're trying to recover. You know, the devil knows where all of our weak points are. He knows our past, and he brings them up continually and constantly as you try to recover. And some Christians get to the point and say, I can't do this anymore. And they just capitulate and go back. Well, Satan will use those things to beat you up during and following your spiritual recovery. And so, when David committed adultery, he died under God's judgment. Think about that. When backslidden, you'll be mean. And you'll be nasty. to the various ones, to the very ones that you claim to love. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, these are some important aspects to understand why backsliding, and God warned Israel not to backslide. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, looking in verses 10 through 13, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So, those are some of the characteristics as well. Let me go back one. So it's always wise to allow the Holy Spirit of God to let you know when you are getting off track. And it's part, Lord, if I'm out of place, if I'm off track, if I'm stumbling and falling along the way, Lord, speak to me. Let me know. Rather than trying to justify the backsliding or the oncoming, the onslaught of backsliding. So, he knows us better than you and I know ourselves. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses... we just read those. I got two different Peters here. I got Peter 3, 1 through 2, so I'm sorry about that. But anyway, the idea simply is that he knows us better than ourselves, and we have to work day in and day out. Sometimes, depending on where you work or where you live, you have to work hour by hour or minute by minute just to maintain your Christian composure, your Christian testimony. Because you can live it all week long and lose it like a snap of the fingers, can't you? It's that quick and that's easy. Because Satan's going to find someone who's going to push your buttons. Because not only does God know us, Satan has been watching and he knows our weak spots. He knows where the buttons are. So while we may be dense at times, determining what to do or not do, never allow your heart to get hard. Give it to God. Let him set his throne there and rule in all of your life, because it's called lordship. When you open your heart and say, Lord, I want you to reside on the throne of my heart. I want you to be the Lord of my life. See, you can be saved and not have Christ as Lord. It's that simple. So when the Lord is able to speak to our hearts, we don't make excuses. We don't try to justify not doing it. We simply say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. I will do this. If you've ever been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. You don't talk back to the officer. He says, hey, I want you to go and pick that cigarette butt up over there. I don't smoke, so I don't want to pick it up there. If he tells you to go pick it up, you go pick it up. And you simply say, yes, sir. And you pick it up and you throw it away. On a trash can. Along the way, well, our Lord is so much greater. He is so much more worthy of our certitude. When he says, jump, yes, Lord, how high? How long? And you just keep doing it until he says, stop. Amen. That's called lordship. Is he the Lord of your life this afternoon? Well, David's in the period when you get backslidden, Jesus Christ is no longer on that throne. David, during that time period of his backslidden days and years, he put himself on the throne, made his own choices, made his own decisions. And much of the Psalms that we read is all about David's wrestling with his convictions during that backslidden condition. So, best thing to do is don't allow backsliding to happen. Do all the things you need to do. Ask God to give you a tender heart. Ask God, take control of my heart. Take control of my life. And Lord, we're good to go. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together today. And Lord, we think of Steve and Elena. We pray that they're continuing on their flight to be able to be home on time today. And Father, we certainly have missed them. Lord, we pray that also for Diane, who will also be returning sometime this coming week. And we pray that you give to her and Lisa traveling mercies. And Lord, we're looking for that part of our family that's missing today to be back with us. And we thank you for Michelle. We thank you for Tom filling in. And Lord, meeting the needs that we have there. So again, Lord, help us to take seriously this whole concept of backsliding. Lord, it doesn't take much. Lord, when we start putting things in place of the things that we know you would rather have us do, and we do the things that we would rather do, Lord, we're in danger of taking that first step to backsliding. And Lord, once the devil catches hold, he's going to pile on. But Lord, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So Lord, we'd ask today that you would help us to be mindful of the fact that we are indeed the children of the King, and that you are Lord of lords and King of kings. And Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.